examining today is another dimension of the violence that has plagued us in the last year in the form of hate crimes. And thinking that, I can't forget the warning to an Islamic school. This was in Los Angeles, as I recall. A warning that had been phoned in that the next day the streets of LA would be filled with the blood of their children. We remember the case of Vincent Chin, who was killed in Detroit in 1982 by disgruntled auto workers who thought he was Japanese, and symbolic of the then perceived threat of the Japanese auto industry on the local economy in Detroit. We need to be attentive not only to the lingering racial intolerance that might be one of the causes of why people are perceived as strangers, but we also need to examine how institutionalized racism persists within our society. When we see racial profiling being conducted, the detentions that are currently going on, we have to be very
So we need to strengthen ourselves as a community and go out there together.
So what we have there is a war on terrorism. But the question of who is a terrorist and how is that terrorist to be dealt with continues to be an open issue, subject to definition, redefinition, and redefinition. For instance, treatment of Johnny Walker Lint as opposed to Jose Padilla. Both American citizens, both having converted to Islam, but treated totally differently by the US Justice Department. One being a white man, other being a brown man. Channels, and you can find plenty of regional experts analyzing the nuclear tip tensions between India and Pakistan or a war with Iran. But try finding a full-time political scientist who specializes in the Middle East or South Asia at the nation's top universities, and you would almost be out of luck. In 1996, the US Congress said, if you are not a citizen of this country, you may be tried in a court of law without evidence being shown to you or to your lawyer. And you will not have the right to challenge and face your accuser. Then, of course, came the Patriot Act. It went from secret evidence to no evidence. Not only there was the client attorney privilege suspended, it was denied. Now the president of our country, and I say it very respectfully, in his State of the Union address on 27th of January this year said, and I think I quote him almost in verbatim, he said, no nation owns these ideals, but no nation is exempt from them. America will not impose its ideals on anyone, but it should remain firm in its non-negotiable demands for human dignity. And then he proceeded to define what are the elements of human dignity. And he said there's a rule of law and equal justice and respecting right of women and free trade and private property and so on and so forth. Now if President Bush seeks to apply that to Pakistan, the country of my origin, I will support my president 150%. If he says it must be applied to Egypt, or to Turkey, or to Syria, or to Libya, or to Sudan, or to any other country of the third world, I am with him. But I do want to ask Mr. President, does it also apply to Israel? And more importantly, does it also apply to the United States? There are many forces within the civil society who have come forward and they have created common cause with people of color. I think the most notable has been the African-American community. And those who are most distinguished among the African-American community are people like Congressman John Conyers, who was a principal litigant in a major victory in the court. I think it was Cincinnati Federal Court, which said any deportation hearing must be done openly.
I think one of the most amazing aspects is that all these groups can come together, or a diversity of people, to address these issues, because I'm not sure if a lot of things were about the Asian community or even with hate crimes in general, but that the fact that we're here to address these issues, these social political issues together and to talk about them and engage in dialogue, regardless of our differences in backgrounds or religion, etc., I think is an amazing aspect of time.
When I was looking at the Doc Busters and you look at just how things come full circle in society, last 5 years, Madonna and with it the whole surge of white Americans have used this as a cultural marker, right? To kind of show you're down, right? You got a Bentley, right? Formerly something that was used to distinguish as a cultural symbol is used as a racialized marker. So culture became racialized to target people, to attack them. On September, I think the week after September 11th, we had another interesting comment from the Indian Consulate, which advised Indian citizens to wear bindis to distinguish themselves from Muslims so they would not be attacked. When violent acts designed to intimidate and instill fear, which is the definition of terrorism, are perpetrated by white Americans, the specificity of the religious affiliation is neither a matter of newsworthiness nor comment by the media. When a white Christian commits acts of terror, if a reference to Christianity is made at all, it is only in the context of this person's actions being aberrant and abhorrent to Christians. However, no such contextualization occurs when Islam is the topic of discussion, since exoticizing Orientalism pervades Western coverage of issues related to Islam and Muslims, even in the wake of 9/11, when the media has been bragging about its new sensitivity uniform. Over the past 2 decades, the international image of the Sikh community has suffered greatly. It's been tarnished considerably, analogous to the situation endured by Muslim Americans, by the involvement of an insignificantly small number of Sikhs in isolated violent incidents, primarily in India. Sikhs have also suffered from official efforts by the Indian state to generally depict observant Sikhs as violent terrorists. Instead, the media followed the erroneous lead of New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who downplayed the initial reports of hate crimes being directed at dark-skinned, turban-wearing people throughout New York City. Well, Giuliani spoke about, almost congratulatory, about how few hate crimes were actually occurring. Terrified immigrant cab drivers from India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan were rushing around the city trying to find American flag stickers to place in their cars to deflect the violence and hatred with which they were suddenly confronted.
The quotation by Woodrow Wilson was from 1915. This is to American citizens of foreign birth. And I quote, "My urgent advice to you would be not only to always think first of America, but always also to think first of humanity. You do not love humanity if you seek to divide humanity into jealous camps." He didn't say either you are with us or you are against us. He said, "You do not love humanity if you seek to divide humanity into jealous camps. Humanity can be welded together only by love, by sympathy, by justice, not by jealousy and hatred. I am sorry for the man who seeks to make personal capital out of passions of his fellow man. He has lost the touch and ideal of America, for America was created to unite mankind."